All right, who's ready for fall? Dude, I love hoodie weather. That's what I call fall hoodie weather. I don't care if you got to wear shorts, but you can wear your hoodie, right? And that's how I know it's fall. I'm already at my orange. That's how excited I am for fall. I got my orange shirt on. I don't even care. I asked Charity, it's like, is it too early to wear orange? And she looked at me like I was dumb. And I was like, no, I'm serious. Can I wear orange? Because I don't know if it's fall yet. And I looked at my calendar and it's not fall, but I'm ready. So I'm getting ready. I'm just going to go ahead and put it on. So here comes the fall attire. I might preach in a hoodie next week. You never know. Because I like them so much. All right. So one of my favorite things about fall is like campfires, right? Just going out, and we're blessed to have like a little ring in the backyard there. A thousand dead trees. I don't know if you call that a blessing, but they're dead and they give me wood. So we'll just have like a little campfire out there, you know, and I just love sitting there by the fire. I can sit there all night, just get warm, and I don't know, I'm a simpleton too. I just stare at the fire. I don't know, it's just fun to watch. It's relaxing. There's something about that smell too. When you come inside and you can smell the kind of the fire smoke on you, you're like, I'm going back to the fire. And then if you've ever been to my house for a fire, you know that the next morning when you come, it's probably still going, and we can just poke at it and get it maybe again, because I like to put a lot of wood on there. But sometimes fire is bad, right? So if you are in California during a drought in the middle of the summer, fire is bad. Fire is really bad. It's very consuming. It's it doesn't even care who you are or what it is. It will just consume you, right? I saw so many people this year and years past that have lost their homes, lost their property, lost their vehicles or whatever it is to these fires, to these wildfires. And then, do I have any firemen in here? Can I just tell you y'all are crazy? Just, I love you, but you're crazy. I came from law enforcement, right? So there's always that big divide, law enforcement and fire. No. Okay, it's on fire while you're going in. That's what they do, right? He's excited. It's on fire. I'm going in, right? Because then there's someone in there possibly that you need to save or something that needs to be helped. And I just thank God for you all. Thank God for all the firemen, and I thank God for all the law enforcement people. Today being September 11th, it's kind of a hard day for me. I wasn't in New York. Didn't know anybody in New York. Didn't know anybody in the Pentagon. I didn't know anybody that was lost. But I know that our nation was attacked. And then, so my son, you know, it's his first week of school, right? He gets assigned to read about September 11th. And it never dawned on me that he's reading about a historical event that we, most of us, have lived through, you know? So, I mean, like, I was alive. I remember where I was. And I've even asked my mom before. I'm like, hey, where was you when Elvis died, right? Because that was just a historical event to me. People remember that. I remember where I was. I can smell it. I can see it. I can taste the drink that I was drinking. It's so vivid to me like it was yesterday, but it was 15 years ago today. Now, 15 years can be a lot or it can be a little. Depends on how you look at it. That day, we said we will never forget. Our country was never more unified than at that point, right? Because we're all watching our television screens and we're seeing all of the devastation. I saw a picture from it, and that was pre-Facebook, if y'all remember that too, right? It's pre-Facebook. But I saw a picture, and it had everybody was covered in ash, right? They're just kind of walking down the street. And something I noticed, I don't know if I noticed it or if it was pointed out to me, it doesn't matter, but there was no discernible race or creed of the people. They all looked the exact same. There was absolutely no division. It didn't matter if you were Christian, Jewish, atheist, black, white, Asian. We were all unified under the purpose of helping one another get through this. Now, in 15 years, that has stopped, right? And I'm one man, but I am determined to bring us back together. I can't live in a world that is so bent on being divided, right? Paul just did a great devotion about unity. about how we all kind of work together. And I was thinking about the aspects of fire, right? You got to have the kindling, you got to have the spark, you got to have the oxygen. It's actually kind of a miracle because you have just the right mixture of everything and then it catches on fire. All of that to say, that had nothing to do with my sermon. That was just something that came to me. Something that came. Well, fire does. Fire has something to do with my sermon. We're going to be in Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. We've been in Acts for a long time, and last week when I left you, we were in Acts chapter 16. And a lot of you are probably like, okay, well, what are we doing in 28? Well, I'm going to tell you. From Acts 17 to about Acts 27-ish, it is the same thing over and over, right? So here it is. You ready for your recap? Paul comes to a city, and he preaches Jesus Christ in the synagogue. That ticks some people off. They chase him away. Paul goes to another city, preaches Jesus Christ for the Savior and forgiveness of your sins. That ticks some people off. They chase him away. This goes on and on and on and on. And finally he gets to this place, and he's with his brothers, not his actual brothers, but brothers in Christ. And they're trying to keep him from going to his next place, right? Because he's going to Jerusalem. And even a prophet comes down to him and says, listen, he took Paul's belt and he puts it around his feet and he binds his hands and he says, the wearer of the belt will look like this if he goes to Jerusalem. Basically, he says, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to jail. You're going to be confined and you're going to go to jail. So what's Paul do? What would y'all do? If I said, hey, if you go to Galleon today, you're going to get locked up. Would you go to Galleon? No, because you're smart. Right? Not Paul. Paul's like, no, I'm going to Jerusalem. So he goes to Jerusalem. What's happened? They lock him up. They put Paul in jail. And then, I love this. So they're going to investigate Paul. And so their charge against Paul is very murky at best. And they're kind of saying, well, he is inciting a riot, basically. You know, like he's caused a lot of uprisal against our laws. And we don't like him. So we're going to investigate him, right? So the Romans, I got to move my stuff. I'm excited. Right? So the Romans are like, okay, let's investigate Paul. You know how they investigated Paul? They were going to beat him until he confessed. Right? They flogged him. They were getting ready to flog him. And I can like see the guy, he's got his whip, he's getting ready to flog him. And he goes, are you really about to flog a Roman citizen? I'm like, so if you don't know the rules, you don't know why that's important. They didn't flog their own people. Just the Jews. Right? So, now, Paul's kind of in jail, but they don't really know what to do with him, because they can't beat him. And he's not going to confess to something that isn't really against the law. It's against Jewish law, not against Roman law. And he's in Roman jail. So they don't really know what to do with Paul, but now these 40 Jews, they come to the high priest and they're like, listen, we will not eat or drink until he is dead. Call for Paul, tell me you want to ask him a question, he won't make it to you. Okay? So somebody hears about it, and they go and tell Felix, who is the guy in charge, that hey, or no, not Felix, they go and tell the guy in charge, hey, listen, Paul's going to die if you call him down there. So the middle of the night, they take Paul away and take him somewhere else. Now Felix is in charge, and he's kind of asking Paul, what do you want me to do with you? And he's like, well, you can't give me to the Jews, and I didn't do anything wrong with Romans, you decide. And he says, okay, I'll just leave you in jail because I'm about to leave my post anyway. So now someone else comes in charge, and that's where we pick up, right? Kind of. Someone else is in charge, and now the Jews say, let us have. And this guy really wants to make the Jews happy. Why? Because his city was like 70% Jewish. And he's like, he wants to make these people happy. He says, okay, well, let me find out. And then so they put Paul on trial and he says, you know what? I'm tired of messing with y'all. I appeal to Caesar, which is the Roman citizen's right. You can appeal to Caesar. Basically, that's like saying, that's like taking our case all the way to the Supreme Court, right? So that's kind of how we would look at it. Like, okay, I went to jail for this. I didn't do that. So I'm appeal to this, appeal to this court. All the way up to Caesar. So he appeals up to Caesar. And so to get to Caesar, he's got to travel. On his travels, Paul's shipwrecked, right? He just gets shipwrecked. He told them it was going to happen. They didn't listen to him. So they get shipwrecked. They got to stay there for a while. And then that's where we pick up. You know, he's on an island. It's an island called Malta. So we're going to read 28, 1 through about 10 maybe. And if you don't have your Bibles, it's up on the screen. Okay. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire. I like these islanders. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. See, now, if this is a Nathan's translation, he put it on the fire and a viper struck. It grabbed Paul's hand and it wouldn't let go. Right, so it fastened itself. Isn't it boring reading that one? I like my version. It fastened itself to his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing had happened to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Today we're going to talk about fire. I done told you I like it. It's one of my favorite subjects. I'm really good at making one. As long as I use gas. We either gas works best, if y'all really want to know. Alright, so let's look at Paul, right? They have been shipwrecked, now they're on Malta, and it's raining and it's cold, but there's natives there. Or islanders, as the scripture says. And what do? They come in and make them a fire. So they go and take care of them. The fire was there to provide warmth and possibly food. You know, they were going to cook their food on it. They gave them something. The islanders gave Paul and his colleagues something they didn't have. And they used it to take care of them. So Paul, you know, he's like, all right, I need to help this fire, right? I told y'all, I'm Paul. The fire's not big enough. I need a better fire. So Paul goes and he gets some brushwood, and I just picture he's got an armful, and he comes and just drops it on them. Well, as the viper that was in the brushwood felt the heat, right, it struck out and lashed onto his hand. This man has been beaten. Y'all remember Paul getting stoned, right? Not the bad way. Well, they're both bad. Right? Let's just say they're both bad. So, Paul been stoned. He'd been beaten. They thought he was dead. I don't know how many times. And he's coming back to the city. So now here he is with a viper hanging off his hand. This could kill anybody. He just shakes it off, throws it in the fire. And they're like, they're just watching him. He's gonna die. He's gotta die. Dude didn't die. He's a god. Right? What would you think if you saw someone, let's just in modern terms, shot in the chest? He did. Right? Odds are against him at least. No, he doesn't die. Flicks it into the fire. What is it about that fire that I can't ignore? I can't get away from the fire. So the fire... Let's say the fire represents the Holy Spirit for us, okay? Let's say you didn't have the Holy Spirit. And let's say somehow you showed up on my island and it was provided to you. Let's say, you know, you were baptized and you received the Holy Spirit on our island. And now you have fire. What is the most important thing if you're going to be shipwrecked? Would you rather have water? Food or fire? Fire. It's okay to talk back to me. I'll talk to you, you talk to me. We'll have a conversation. Fire, right? Wouldn't you want fire so you can purify your water and cook your meat? Right. So let's say the most important thing that I can give you is the Holy Spirit. But can I give that to you? No. No. Because that would make me God. And we've all discerned that I should not be God, right? It's okay. I'm all right with it. I want to be God. He got a big job to do. I should be able to be like, you're dead. You're dead. I like you. Right? No. So there's this fire. And out of it comes a viper. In Genesis, in chapter 3, I'm just going to tell you, so you don't have to find it, Caleb. In Genesis around chapter 3, Adam and Eve are in a garden. And they are with God physically. God is there. Not at the time that I'm telling you about, but he walked with them. He was with them always. So Eve is over by this tree that she was told to not eat the fruit from. But actually, she wasn't told. Adam was. They were told, you can have anything you want but the fruit of that tree. You may as well tell me I can have anything I want but cheesecake, because I'm eating cheesecake, right? That's what they did. So she goes over by the tree, and you know, she's just observing the fruit. And then the serpent comes. And the serpent says, did God really say you would die? You're not going to die if you eat that. He didn't. You won't die. He doesn't want you to eat it because you're going to know as much as he knows. So what does she do? She eats it. And then corrupts all of mankind. They can eat it. Right? No. So anyway, the serpent is where I'm going with this, right? Y'all made that connection a long time ago, right? There was a serpent who is what? Satan. Satan is the serpent. So when you get the fire of the Lord inside of you, what's going to happen? He will strike you. And he will probably grab your hand, because a lot of our sins include our hands, right? Why y'all think I got forgiven tattooed right next to my hand? So I can remember I was forgiven of my sins. I just say thank you. When I look up there, just imagine Nathan saying thank you. I was forgiven of my sins. But the snake here says they have something that they need, and I'm trying to prevent Paul from keeping it. So I'm going to bite him. When you start catching fire for the Lord, what does the snake do? He's going to attack you. And he's going to try to latch onto you. He's going to try to hold you there and keep you from doing what you need to do. He's going to try to keep you from coming to church and fellowshipping and being equipped for his service. He's going to try to keep you from making that good decision that you need to make this week. He's going to try to keep you, and he really doesn't like it. He's going to try to keep you from spreading Jesus' gospel. Why in the world do you think Paul was beaten so much? Why do you think they tried to stop him so much? Because he was spreading that gospel. If they could stop him, they could stop them. They could stop him, they could stop them. And we see a viper latching on to Paul. And I love Paul's response, and I wish this was always my response, and I wish it was always your response. He licks him in the fire. He's like, no. You cannot have a hold on me, Satan. I'm flicking you into the fire. I'm going to throw you at the Holy Spirit. You know why that ticks Satan off? I just heard this yesterday. I was watching something on... Anyway, I heard this yesterday. You want to know why that makes him mad? Because before Satan was down here, before man was created, before a lot of things that you see now are here, he was up there. And he wasn't just up there. He wasn't just up in heaven. And he wasn't just any angel. He was the head praise angel. He's the guy, right? He's in charge of worshiping God. So he is very familiar with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Very, very familiar. And it hurts him to be thrown back at the Holy Spirit, because he has no power there anymore. He can do nothing against the Holy Spirit. So when you have that fire, when you have this indwelling Holy Spirit, Satan cannot have a hold there unless you let him. Right? Paul could have laid down. Paul could have grabbed the snake and kept him there. You know, I've heard that. I've heard a lot of people, if you're bitten by a snake, don't let him move his fangs out. Dumbest thing I ever heard, but anyway. He could have done a whole lot of different things, but what did he do? He flicked them in the fire. So that's what I would tell you. When Satan attacks you because you're on fire or you're starting to move towards God and you're starting to do more for God, you're starting to love Him more, and you're starting to see growth, he's going to attack you. Flick him in the fire. Just flick him in the fire. But be careful, those that are around you that see that. Right? Because what did they think Paul was? They thought he was a god. They thought he was a god. What did they do to gods? They worship gods. Are you worthy to be worshipped? Am I worthy to be worshipped? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I caution anyone against worshiping a pastor or any person in general. We're not any different than you. My gift, you know, we talked about gifts a little bit. My gift is to be able to read this and help you understand it. Right? He also let me talk. I get to talk some. And if you knew me when I was a kid, I was the kid that sat on the side and waited for someone to ask me to play. I never went and was like, hey, I see you guys playing baseball. Can I play baseball with you? No, I would go. My mom listens to my sermon, so it's funny. I would go. I'd see them out of my living room, right, because we lived in a neighborhood. I'd see them playing baseball on the road. I'd go like halfway down the road and sit on the corner or sit on the curb, just waiting to be invited. And then once I was invited, I was fine. It's wonderful what the Lord can do with you and through you if you say yes. It is uncomfortable for me to get up here. It is uncomfortable for me to use my gifts sometimes. But you have to. You have to. What if we've been reading about the Acts of the Apostles, right? Acts stands for actions. The actions of the apostles. What if those apostles chose not to act? Well, we'd be missing a book of the Bible. Or a lot of the Bible. It may have stopped with Malachi. Maybe no one would have wrote down what Jesus did. And if they did, maybe they wouldn't have recorded it accurately. And then let's just say we get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Jesus dies, and then that's when his era died, right? That's when Christianity dies. What if that would have happened? No, we have the Acts of the Apostles because they did it. They used their gifts. They were uncomfortable. Peter was a fisherman. All he knew how to do was fish. But you see him on the day of Pentecost bringing 3,000 people to their number. When you start to use your gifts, though, be ready for your attack. Are you guys ready for your attack? Are you ready right now? Because you're here today, because you heard this word, if you receive this word and you put it into action, you will be attacked. So are you ready? Fling them in the fire. Just think about that. Like he said, throw them in the fire. I don't care if you got to go build a fire. If you want me to, I'll come build it for you. Because I like fire. Right? I'll bring you wood, bring everything you need. Come build it for you. So seriously, if we put that into application, if you're going through something and you need help, reach out. And if you reach out to someone and they're like, hey, I really would love to talk to you, but I cannot physically do that right now, here's someone I know that can, or call me back, right? There are some times when I just can't physically do it. I have to be doing something else. But reach out. Don't try to do it alone. We can't. We can't do it alone. If Paul would have been shipwrecked by himself, he wouldn't have survived. But there were the islanders there. The islanders helped him. So let me show you. We'll read 7 through 10 now. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius. I have no idea how to say his name. The chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways And when we were ready, they furnished us with supplies we needed. After they had seen Paul and they started to worship Paul, I got to think that there's a 6B missing there, you know, and he gave them the speech, "I'm not a God. I just serve a powerful one." And he was able to bless them because of their blessings, right? They gave Paul fire and he gave them life. In the physical sense, they gave him fire, he gave them life. Use your gift for his glory. Paul actually wasn't a very good preacher. They didn't. There's even scriptures talking about. That's why he wrote a lot. Apollos was a very good preacher, but young in the faith. He needed Aquilas and Priscilla. Use your gift and hone it. If you think you're good at it now, what will you be in 10 years with it? Use it for his glory, for his purpose, and be a blessing. You know, guys, we were called to be a blessing not only to God, but to each other and to our communities and just to our areas. Everywhere that Paul went, I got to think that even though they were, I guess, mean to him, or however you want to put it, that he was a blessing to some of them, right? Because everywhere he went, first thing he did is he went to the temple and he started preaching, "Jesus saved," or "Jesus saves." And although that makes some people angry, others believed, right? As we finish out the chapter, so Paul makes it to Rome, right? Paul makes it to Rome. And he calls the elders of the Jewish faith there to him. And he says, "Hey, here's what I've been charged with. Here's what why I'm here. I'm just going to give you a little bit of the history. Here's why I'm here." And they said, "Well, we haven't heard specifically about you, but we've heard about the way," right? That's what they call Christians, the way. "We've heard about the way and how it is disrupting everything. We would love to hear from you." So, let's look at 23. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made his final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke truth to your forefathers when he said through the prophet Isaiah, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For these people's hearts has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes.'" Some of them believed, some of them didn't. And he really made them mad when he quoted their prophet to them and said, "When I go to these people, you will hear, but never understanding." How many people come to church and they hear a word, but they don't get it? Or how many people have you talked to that hear what you're saying, but they just don't get it? You know, you ever try to have that conversation and you're like, "I'm just trying to explain how to make something. I've been trying to explain division to a certain person in my house, and he looked at me like I got three heads." It's like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now, right? Sometimes when we callous our hearts, that's what it is. And we just don't get it. We hear it, but we don't get it. We hear it, but we don't get it. I pray that's not our church. I pray that's not us today. Because I told you that 15 years ago today, our nation was never as unified as it had been. And now I don't think we've been as divided since the Civil War. When the firefighters were running into the Twin Towers, as they passed the people coming down the stairs, I don't think they asked them, "Hey, are you a Republican or a Democrat?" Because I can't save you if you're one or the other, or I can't help you, or wait, no, I was raised not to like your particular pigment of skin, so sorry. They didn't. There was nothing. There was no division. We were just a human race. Can we get back to just being the human race? Can we get back to this unity? Without this unity, we can read this all we want. But without a unified church, we're just going to be fighting each other. We're just going to be fighting against each other. I despise denominations. I just don't, because denominations by definition divide, right? You guys, a lot of you know that I'm taking my master's in theology right now, and I'm in a class where a particular student, if you quote anything other than the King James Version, you are using what he refers to as the non-inspired version of the Bible. And I politely informed him that if he's reading the Bible in English, he's reading a translation, so get off your high horse. But I said it in like 400 words. Right. What is that? Why? You remember me talking about fence laws? Why do we put these fences up for people? Oh, you come to my church, we got the right Bible. Right? Dude. I won't go on that rant, sorry. But there's a whole lot wrong with every interpretation, but it's an interpretation. Unless you're reading the Hebrew or Greek, and even some of that is someone else's interpretation. They had scribes write stuff for them. Paul, when he writes in his own hand, he will say, and I've written this in my own hand, because he wrote like this big. He had huge handwriting. I don't know, I'm going on a rant. I was wrapping up. You guys were excited. Sorry. I got this fire inside of me. I got a purpose inside of me. And what are we going to do about it? So I'm going to be talking with the leadership and try to figure out, how does our church bridge the gap? How can our church fix this? What's broken in our community? And how can we play a part in bridging that gap? Right? And so it's not going to just be the four families either. Yeah, we're going to make a plan, but then we're going to need your help. We only have certain gifts. And you have gifts that we don't have. And we have gifts that you don't have. So if we can work together. And what if, you know, if we desegregated, and it's not just race, but if we desegregated our complete community, can you imagine the revival that would take place in the hearts of men? I get excited thinking about it. I hope you're as excited about it as I am. But it's coming. There's a fire burning. And we need to share that with those that don't have it. So this morning, if you would, let's pray for our community together. Gracious Father, God, I thank you for the gift of fire and for using it as an illustration to spread your love, to spread your grace, and to spread your gospel. Father, I don't take it lightly that you had to sacrifice your son so that we may have eternal life. And I pray that each day we live that. I pray that each day we're able to share that love, that gospel with others. And truly, truly, truly help others see you for who you are, not for who someone else told them you are. But that they would build a relationship with you themselves, and that they would get connected to a church, and that they would be equipped for your service. So Father, I thank you for your scriptures, and I thank you for the direction it's led us today, and I pray that we don't just take your word and sit on it, but we take your word, digest it, and put it into application in our lives every day. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. Alright, Spank, you can let him out. He's been back here for like 10 minutes, just like, hold on. So, I was talking to Spanky earlier, and I was like, hey, listen, I don't know what my sermon looks like. I know you're upstairs. I didn't write anything down this week. I just studied. So whatever come out. I study, you hear, right? So sorry if I went a little bit longer than normal. It was only 34 minutes. You're fine. So anyway, I got the praise team up here. We're about to sing another song. We might have Les come down here, and usually I have the elders, but that's all that's left of us today. Jesse and Britt had a wedding they were going to, and Matt and Chris were visiting Shelby in West Kingdom, right? So, why are we here? Why are Les and I here? We're here for you. We're here to give you the fire that we have. We're here to listen to what Satan has done, how he's latched onto you, and help you fling him off. Help you fling him off. So if you guys would stand, we're going to sing another song, and if you feel led, come down and talk to one of us.